Welcome to Fellowship of the Range, a monthly podcast discussing the art and science of flexibility development. The podcast is hosted by three coaches going by their range names, the Flexibull, the Limberjack, and the Splits Wizard. Follow us as we delve into contextual application of range of motion development. Fellowship of the Range is produced by Motion Impulse.
Well, welcome back, range seekers, to another round of Fellowship of the Range with me, Splits Wizard, and I'm joined here in person with the Limberjack. How are things going, Lucas?
Great. Happy to be here. Yeah. Mixing some health tonic by Sir Arthur Jackson.
Arthur Jackson. Sorry, Mr. Jackson.
It's a strong brew. So, everyone know this drink?
I don't think anyone knows it. So, I think there's a bit of history to it. I read about it on my phone because it's a bit of strength training in the world. It's one of those things like drinking and lifting used to just be a thing. It's just a thing people would do. We're not really doing that because we're healthy, but we're here for the first time, so we might as well have a beverage when we're doing a podcast. So, just an article found on physical culture study, as well as plague and strength about it. When not consuming copious amounts of beers, the trio were partial to their own style of health tonic, which consisted of dark lager, or Dublin stout, so Guinness, mixed with Holland gin, the yolk of an egg, and plenty of sugar. Although this tonic was in great demand amongst the brothers, it was not for everyone, as evidenced by their claim that, this is a quote from the Saxon trio, it is a very good but strong drink, but if you're not used to it, you will get dizzy very quickly. So, yeah.
Especially if you're using it to lift copious amounts of weight.
Yeah, if you're bent pressing more than anyone's bent pressed before, yeah. You're like slightly hacked out, you know. We were kind of playing with the bent press and side press and a few variations today. Lucas was teaching them to me. And, you know, I think you kind of have to be a bit hammered to really fucking go for it. Like, yeah. You're kind of talking about, like, oh, I just get stuck with the fear or, you know, yeah. You have to commit.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what are these health tonics you're committing?
Oh, for sure. And we have Arthur Saxon putting up 370 pounds.
Yeah.
All time best on one arm. I can only imagine he probably had a few health tonics.
To make that seem like a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's definitely one of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame Jeff isn't here. You know, me and Lucas will have a drink every now and then. Jeff doesn't drink that much, so no. He'd get absolutely hammered. He'd put up 400 pounds in the bench press.
He'd do something massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but yeah. It's been a good trip. Yeah, it's nice to get out and see the chapel, Motion Chapel.
Yeah.
It's cool to see it turning into a training space, and I've been sharing it on my socials, and everyone is like, how do I come to this place and train?
Yeah. Awesome.
Pretty awesome spot.
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's kind of, you know, for us, it's been a long adventure to get here. We're like, we're living, had rented houses, tried to buy, couldn't for a bit, pandemic. Like, this was kind of a retirement plan for us. We were just like thinking like, oh, we'll get like 45, 50, we'll look at opening like kind of a retreat center, intensive venue,
yeah,
this kind of thing. But then pandemic, we're like, let's just go for it.
Yeah.
And then the fortunate thing is like this house, which is obviously ideal for it, just came on the market. So it's like, okay, it's a sign. Let's just go for it. Got it. Mad thing trying to get the finance through and all that. Then obviously my wife was pregnant. We moved in. A month later, we had the baby. So then it's been like, anyone's ever had their first baby, like it's a weird combination of one of the hardest things I've ever done, the happiest thing I've ever done, and one of the easiest things I've ever done.
Yeah,
just
do it.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's just like, I suppose there's a lot of parents listen. I like to think there's a lot of parents listen to this. If you have sage advice, please DM it to me. I'm all ears. I'm not one of these people like, don't give me unsolicited advice. Give me all your good advice.
Yeah.
But Lucas gave me loads of advice. Lucas is the ideal dad to look up to. Learn a lot from your way of parenting, I have to say.
Yeah, and I mean, those times for me too, it was like, kind of fell off the face of the earth for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, it's the hardest thing you've ever done, but most rewarding and the greatest thing you've ever done. But at the same time, it is hard to balance a lot of other things. And
yeah,
it's cool seeing everything starting to come together for you now. Cause I can only imagine the first year with Ivy, it's like,
just
trying to get organized and create some kind of consistency and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, now it's beginning to like, now, I don't know, so you just have to get into the groove with these things. Like there's a new person and they have a schedule they need to follow, and then you're like, oh, I actually have to fit everything else around this, and then you're like, okay, shit, we need to do our normal business stuff and we need to get this running. So to the point where it's like it's basically running now, or up and running. So check us out at motion.chapel on Instagram. Yeah, give us a follow, we'd appreciate it. And you know, you'll find out about what we're doing here, either through my own socials or through our other networks. So yeah.
It's even a perfect time when you do have kids to explore your training. I think that's what helped me the most when like we had our first was like I started like realizing like I wouldn't be able to sustain a lot of those very intensive competitive type approaches to training.
Yeah.
And you start exploring, like, you know, I got into hand balance at the time, gymnastics and more flexibility focused training. And it's just almost like where some people stress out about that stuff. It's like a cool space to be in where you're not like worried about making progress, but maybe it's a good time to try something new.
Yeah.
Bodyweight training obviously is one of the greatest things because
you
don't need much.
Like, that's literally what I've been doing with IVI. It's been, you know, I've got to admit, like, you know, in the last 6 months, I've done very little training.
Yeah.
Until she's about 6 months old and I had the headspace. Yeah. So now it's like she's crawling. We come into the chapel. I put her down, just, you know, leave some juggling toys out for her to play with. She's happy out exploring. I kind of just like, don't have a program. I'm just doing things. I'm just like, oh, I'll do some chin ups, do some deadlifts. Yeah. So play with the weights.
Makes the move.
Just, you know, what do I feel like doing? It's kind of, it's a bit liberating because, you know, I don't have headspace to follow a program, journal, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So now it's just like, okay, I'll just do something.
Yeah.
And that's like something that's
like freeing for a bit. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just takes the pressure off the training. Yeah. Where I was sort of thinking about normal, sort of like, try to do 7 to 10 sessions a week.
Nah. Well, I think too, it's even just talking about COVID, like all these actionables that people take during COVID, that's probably one of the things a lot of people did as well too, is like all of a sudden now you don't have your routine.
Yeah.
And that was actually one thing that happened to me and why I got more into the old time approach to training, because I just had like a barbell and some plates.
Yeah.
It's like,
and a squat rack.
You know, it's like,
I can't, invented it.
Yeah. Like I can't really go do stuff in a gym, a commercial gym setting. And it's like, you know, next thing you know, you're looking into ways to do that stuff and then finding a new way to approach your training, learning different things about your body. And I think a lot of people dealt with that over COVID. Like, people are like, I'm going to try this thing. Like, I haven't tried before. I was worried about trying. And it's always like sometimes something a little more dramatic has to happen to make you make those moves. So,
yeah,
it's maybe a good thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's definitely like we've met a lot of people who bought our courses during the pandemic. And thank you all who's doing it on Handstand Factory, who just like you're saying, they're doing other training, and then they're like, oh shit, I basically can't leave my apartment, I can't go to the gym. Okay, what am I going to do? Well, I'll try half that. So now, some of them have been doing it for 2 years, they've gotten really fucking good.
Yeah.
There's a few people, like, a few notable people who are just like, I'm impressed with their progress.
Yeah.
That's how good they got, like, just by the, like, that's the thing. It's always nice when you have a group of people or a coach or someone to work with or classes you can go to, when you're just like, okay, I just have this course and I'm just going to work away at my own pace.
Yeah.
It's always kind of, it's rewarding for me as the person who made the course to see this.
I'm like,
okay, shit, yeah, it does work and people can.
Yeah.
You know, if they implement it, it does work. Not that I didn't know it doesn't work. It's
Or you start putting things in like that where it's like heavily accessible and you're like, you know, if you don't have the guidance, sometimes people need. But it's probably even better once you've had like so much experience at some point where you know to put the right expectations in.
Yeah. Because
you just said like 2 years and that's not a lot of time really in the handstand game or the flexibility game. But sometimes when people hear that for the first time, they're like, oh, I was only going to do this for like 6 months. I thought I was going to be at least. And it's like 2 years is actually not that long of a time.
Yeah.
And it's a good return of investment.
Like, yeah.
So I think those kind of expectations being set with people probably in any discipline of training, right? Like,
Yeah,
if you want to learn a bed press or you want to learn an Astrograph squat or whatever, get really good at it, it's like, 2 years is like a good amount of time to invest and like feel like you're getting a return from it.
Yeah, I definitely think, I think people always think, you always underestimate what you can do or overestimate what you can do in short term and underestimate what you can do in like long term.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing, like people are like, oh, a double body weight squat in a year. You know, I've seen it, we've all seen it, but it doesn't mean it's like gonna happen for everyone.
Yeah.
Whereas we're just like, oh, I'm just gonna lift weights. I think there was one good post on the T Nation forum actually by Christian Thibodeau. And someone was just asking about all the training programs he puts out in the style of training. He just basically goes like, look, if you just get into this game for 10 years, Yeah. It doesn't matter what program you follow, yeah. as long as it's logical and you just apply progressive overload and just add weight when you can, except like, you know, you'll be able to add weight a lot when you're a beginner. As you get more advanced, it's going to be slower to add weight.
Yeah.
But if you're there for 10 years, everyone's going to end up jacked.
Yeah.
Like, that's your goal, is just to stick with it for 10 years.
Yeah.
And like, for that guy, like, isn't it though, if you don't, like, writes on T-Nation, he's always writing new programs and interesting. He's, you know, yeah. one of the more interesting writers in that kind of field. But he's always like, it is T-Nation, they're always shilling the new, latest, greatest thing. So those are very, like, candid,
yeah.
honest moments, just like, look, you want to lift weights, you want to be big, you're in this for 10 years. If you have that mindset, it doesn't matter if you do 5x5, it doesn't matter if you do Wessa, it doesn't matter if you do my stuff, you will get big.
Yeah.
As long as you're just adding weight when you can.
I think about when I first got into training too, and probably the people I surrounded myself with at the time, it's like I kind of lucked into having some people set those kind of expectations for me, and it helps you enjoy the process and enjoy training. And it's like, now I'm at a stage, that was even before I got into coaching, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, start loving training. You love the process. It's not so much about the gains.
Yeah.
And then I think that's the question to ask too, is like, are you actually loving what you're doing right now? Like, because I'm at a stage now too, where I feel like the habit's just there to the point where I would just keep going regardless.
Yeah.
If the goal changed, or there was an interruption in training for whatever reason, it's like I would still find a way to keep it going. And I don't know if that would be the case if I wasn't kind of just shown the way with the right people at the time. Like, yeah. I remember one of the first squat sessions I was getting into with one of this older guy at the gym. And I just remember like doing reps and, you know, like asking a lot of questions, like how many reps. And I just remember the first thing he said to me was like, just like, as many as you can. Because he knew it was like I was just starting.
Yeah.
And he kind of, I think he almost just knew I had to experience that failure.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of like, it doesn't matter, like, how many can you do?
Yeah.
You know, you get hooked kind of thing, right? And I just remember, like, yeah, doing an all-out set and realizing it's not this, you know, cut and dry, like, you do this and then that. And then
yeah.
you just keep this, yeah, you can learn about yourself and all that stuff over time. And I feel like that just kind of sets the stage. Like, if you're introduced to it in that way at the start, I feel like that's kind of what matters. And a lot of people you find and work with.
Yeah.
Meet up with, it's like we have that same mentality, right?
Yeah.
We just kind of keep diversifying ourselves a little bit to
yeah.
keep going.
It's definitely just keep things like interesting.
Yeah.
So always that, like, that's the thing. Once you have a good base built in like one thing, it's kind of what we're talking about in the week. It's just yeah. like, really think it's like, pick something and just do it for a while. Think of like, okay, I'm beginning to get this.
Yeah.
And don't just go like, I'm doing powerlifting, I'm doing jujitsu, I'm doing yeah. rock climbing, I'm doing like six different things a week. Yeah, unless that's like
what's a common thing, right?
Yeah,
like everyone's trying to do everything.
Yeah, unless you're like, that's what you're into. You're just like, all right, I just, you know, I've got one very good friend of mine who she's a small bit of my inspiration. She's not physically talented. She was diagnosed with dyspraxia as a kid. You know, she understands this, but she just loves doing lots of things.
Hmm.
And she has no pretensions of ever getting good, ever getting shredded. It's like, she played roller derby at a high enough level.
Yeah,
she had a very bad concussion with that, and like that's limited her a lot. She's come back, but now, like, because I help with her training, like, her training is just, we basically, she has a selection of activities she can do a week. She has her times that she can go, okay, I'm going with this, and then depending on what she feels like doing, or whether, if the outdoor weather permitting, she go, oh, I can go climbing, I can go other stuff. But she doesn't have any pretensions of being a climber, doesn't want to be a bodybuilder,
right?
Just wants to go, oh, I enjoy lifting weights, so I'll go do it.
Yeah.
So there's like, I think there is a counterpoint to like, go deep. But if you don't go deep, you have to accept you're just not going to be good at things.
Right.
But you can still enjoy them.
Yeah.
Whereas I think a lot of people have this idea of like, oh, I can be a brown belt in jujitsu while also Olympic lifting. And, you know, and we do meet beasts who can do that.
Yeah.
There's just like those naturally athletic people who can just be good at everything.
Yeah, but I mean, like, sometimes they have that felt like they have those experiences in their life too,
and yeah,
really hard. Like the common one is the gymnast that, like, you know, developed yeah. that crazy capacity at a young age, and
yeah,
they didn't make it. And you see that in a lot of the CrossFit athletes,
yeah,
some of the top athletes were just like at that level, and then they make that easier transition to something hybrid,
yeah.
But even still, there's that specialization of that thing,
yeah. You don't even argue CrossFit's a specialized thing now,
yeah, you know, exactly.
Yeah, de-specialized, like, oh wait, it's
very specialized. Yeah. It's really good at all those things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a cool headspace to kind of get into, and And even just like coming back to those things that you put time in, like even the stuff we did this week, the last couple of days, it's like I haven't been doing back bends, but the experience is there.
Yeah.
And then it's just like a couple of reminders and things that I haven't been doing. And then it's like the hesitation of getting back into back bends, because in my head I'm like, oh, it'd be cool to get back into back bends.
Yeah.
It's there. It's like the hesitation's there because I didn't have that just like connection. Someone who's like kind of been doing it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's just a couple things here. You know, get back into it. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to get back. Yeah. The experience is there. It's an easier transition. Whereas like the first time you're trying to learn it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to put all that time in. It's kind of.
Yeah. That's one of the things I call, mentally I call it like putting on the old shoes.
Yeah.
So like say for myself, I put like literally 10,000 hours plus into like object manipulation.
Yeah.
Got very, very good at it, but then I just kind of bored with it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I still enjoy it a bit, but like to put in the hours, like, you know, do 3-4 hour training sessions every single day.
Yeah.
And coming home from the training sessions and doing a bit more, and
yeah,
just got like kind of bored with it.
Yeah.
Or just kind of like reached level, like, okay, fine. But then, like, as you can see, I can still put on the old shoes. Like, I was able to go, like, I can still do 7 balls. I can still,
yeah,
do these kind of things if I just put a bit of time. So it's still like there. It's just been put away.
That's an interesting conversation, maybe to segue to as well, as like, because we were talking about that with some students, kind of like finishing handstands or getting to a point where it's like maybe you're not enjoying it, or maybe you need a break from it or whatever, but the shoes are still there.
Yeah,
I guess that's how I was feeling with the back bends. Like when we went over them today, is like, I can put the shoes back on, like it's still there, I can get into it. And that's probably something to, like,
it's that kind of thing, like with the old shoes, it's like, you know, it's your favorite pair of shoes. You've worn them for 10 years.
Yeah.
They fit like a glove. And it's just like, okay, you just, you know, you don't wear them so much. Maybe they're a bit scuffed or a bit dirty or they're just not attractive to you anymore.
Yeah.
But you still put them on. You're just like, oh, yeah, I can do that. Whereas I just had like a new pair of shoes, wore them for a week or two, put them in the closet, got them out. They still fit like a new pair of shoes.
Yeah.
They don't give me that thing. So it is, you know, being able to put the time in, the luxury to put the time in, and then actually be able to like just let something go.
Yeah.
And just come back to it every now and then.
Yeah, there's a lot of that too.
Yeah.
Where a lot of, I think like talking about flexibility specifically, like in my own journey, that was like a big barrier as well too. It was like getting to that point where nothing was really working, but I wanted to get improve my flexibility. And I kind of just like had to let some shit go.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm still, like I'm hitting the strength training hard now, like once I've gone on that journey, but I'm still like trying to maintain all these things that weren't necessarily making me happy at that time.
Yeah.
Because I knew I wanted to go on this other path and improve my flexibility. But I felt like I had to keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't do this, I'm going to like lose all that I learned, or that strength or whatever. So that was a big, like, had to kind of cut it off for a bit.
You know, yeah.
I got to go this way because this is like what I need to do. And then coming back to it now, it's like, no, maybe it looks like hybrid to people because like, I have that old skill that I'm getting back into.
Yeah.
But now I have this improved flexibility.
It was like putting on the old shoes with a new pair of pants.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a new outfit.
It's something different about you.
Yeah.
It's the pants, it's not the shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, nice shoes, that's the pants. Yeah, it's definitely one of the, say, like, same with myself, but like, we just finally got weights in the place. So the place, like, the price of equipment was through the roof lately, so we're holding off to come down. Came down, so I have to get some weights, get squat racks and little bits and pieces. But like, haven't lifted weights because of the pandemic and like living situation, maybe for about 2 years. Been doing other training. I was like, okay, I finally got some weights. I'll try to see what deadlift. I was like, could still pull 140. Like, just done a week of kind of pump work, just, you know, with the barbell or with 30, 40 kilos just to feel things out.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm just going to try to pull. Lucas is coming.
Yeah.
I have to make sure I'm still like okay strong.
Yeah.
I know 140 is not a big deadlift. It's not big when, like, you know, so previous max on sumo was probably like 220 kilos.
Yeah. Just,
you know, it's not a big deadlift. I'm not a deadlifter. I'm still okay. But still, like, I pulled 140 and I was like, okay, that feels pretty good. In terms of how I lifted, I feel like I could have done 160 if I wanted to, like, keep pushing it. But I was like, you know, I'm not going to be greedy on the first day back from the max.
Yeah, yeah.
You see? But it's just like, it's interesting, these kind of like, you don't lose as much as you want.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, if I think, okay, 140 was easy single, 160 would have been like a grinder.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, if if I just spent 6 to 10 weeks training,
yeah,
I'll probably pull 180, 190 quite easily.
Yeah. And it's that previous experience that makes you like a bit wiser with that.
Yeah.
It's like not to say I'll never be what I was or whatever, like that holds you back from maybe getting back into something, but when you get into it, if you've had a good previous experience with it, it's just like you're kind of able to make those calls, like, okay, this is where I'm at, I can feel my body, have a better understanding of your own body and what you're capable of, and then you can make those, okay, I can invest this much time into it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't affect other training components as much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that 10-year target. It's like,
yeah,
you gotta keep going and just get better with making those decisions and what you're capable of. That's why I think I love it so much. It's like I had that conversation with Jeff, actually. I was on his podcast a few weeks ago. And we talked about the range of strength, like name, and how a lot of people associate flexibility with that. In a lot of ways, to me, it's like, it's the range of your abilities in a way.
Where
it's like, you can draw from those old experiences and create new ones, because that's what it's become for me, is like, that's what makes me more passionate about like keeping like going.
It's yeah.
Like learning new things, relating it to my old experiences.
Yeah.
Seeing how it evolves, that sort of thing.
Not hit record or nothing. Fuck, oh, well, I'm on the camera mic.
Bollocks. Okay, I should have on the camera mic, so it should be fine.
Cool.
Backup mics are always backups.
yeah.
Oops. Anyway.
Classic.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah, should be on the camera mic. It's fine.
That's cool.
Great. All right, anyway, where were we?
Just talking about those previous training experiences, like being able to draw from them to keep making the whole like practice of your training and physical self like just something greater than one thing.
Yeah There is that kind of like the kind of range of strength thing people think is like flexible. It's like no, I just have a range of strengths.
Yeah,
it's like it could be strength training,
it's flexibility. It's relied quite a lot on flexibility.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, what could you do once you've improved your flexibility? I think that's the barrier for people.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, I want to improve my flexibility, but you also should think about like what would you want to do with that? Because you get to a level, maybe you obtain splits, or maybe you obtain a certain level of flexibility. It's like, do you want to go back to something you love doing, which was being held back from mobility, or do you want to like learn some weird old school lifts that require a decent amount of mobility and just express it in different ways?
Yeah, that's one thing, the lifts we're doing today.
Yeah,
like to do them, like, obviously, you were demonstrating like bent press, stiff legs, quite heavy, or heavy relative to my standards, not yours. But also, just like even the side press, like, this actually requires you to be very flexible in weird angles as well as fucking strong.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can see where you got hooked on them. I played with them years ago, like probably 10, 12 years ago, just going, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. But didn't really go deep enough to get like, it's more just like, I'll just try this in the gym, see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do it. Done. Which now it's like, I got the nuance in my training where I'm just like, okay, I can see that this is like
different.
Yeah. I can see why this is different.
Yeah.
You can also see why it's like, it's like very, I don't know, it's very non-linear use of the body.
Yeah.
Which is kind of very interesting. I was like, you know, we have all our kind of exercises in standard gym exercises, very linear. In terms of this, like, I push forward, I pull back. I bend over, I push forward, I pull back. I sit up and down and squat. Like, obviously, I know they're not exactly linear, but they have a kind of a mechanical model of the body.
Yeah.
The body's just hinges and levers and folds and compresses.
Yeah.
Whereas these are like, oh, the weight's not moving now, but your body's moving underneath it. And you're rotating. And like, that was kind of interesting with the side press we're doing today. It's like, you know, the point you made is just like, when you feel you start to stall, then that's when you need to actually rotate and twist the spine more. That gives you, and that's kind of interesting. Whereas before, like, I'm stuck. It's like, okay, just can't do anything, put the weight down. Whereas that was like, okay, I know it's going to like feel like it's going to be stuck. I just turn and rotate the spine.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't have that range of motion to draw from, then I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, that's interesting too, is like knowing how to use your range, like in those different capacities. Because even, I mean, that's kind of what was happening with some of the other stuff we were doing with splits and things. Like I had experienced some strain on my right side, and my body was carrying tension. So to me, it was like I had an injury.
Yeah.
But it was also like trying to figure out how to get back into that space safely.
Yeah.
And then, well, the old time lifts almost had that as well too, where it's like you put yourself in a position where you kind of panic.
Yeah.
But instead, it's like, well, how do we create space here?
Yeah.
How do we move around? Like, yeah, that's what's.
It's very, that idea of moving the body around the weight.
Yeah.
Is something just like you just don't actually encounter in other standard lifts or standard bodyweight stuff. It's like always the body is basically fixed, you know, like in a certain configuration that might be a dynamic configuration. But it's like, okay, I'm going to squat. I'm going to, you know, keep my torso fixed at that angle or descend. Maybe we'll go diagonal. I'll come back up. We'll straighten out. But I'm not like thinking like, hold on, I'm going to snake my spine and rotate around. I'm not going to move under the weight. I'm going to try and move the weight with my body. And that's very...
Someone can walk you through it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the stressor of being there isn't so much a stress. There's no fight or flight.
You just
oh, okay, it's okay to feel this. And now I just need to think about this. And that's the case with splits too, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people have the capacity to do really well in splits, but they don't know how to be in splits.
Yeah.
They don't know how to actually think about the hips, think about
the
adductors and like the different ways you can be in there. And then it's like all of a sudden if your time in the split is organized and thought of, then there's no like, oh my God, I'm like in the splits.
Yeah.
I'm going to explode. It's like, this is what I'm thinking about. And like you're just learning.
Yeah.
Properly think of the right things, the right angles, makes all the difference.
Yeah. It's definitely like it's that kind of idea of like, I don't know, talk about it in the seminar, like we call what we do like the resource-based model of flexibility.
Yeah.
Where we have all these cool exercises, we have like fucking thousands of exercises in the system, but they're all to teach you something specific that we've distilled out of a bigger position.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a sensation, it could be an activation, like learning what it feels like to turn a muscle on like this, like the open angle Taylor's pose. Yeah.
And then, I needed that.
Yeah.
Like that was a little breakthrough for me. Like I had my glutes fire like that. My splits.
And that then was like, you know, something else, like endurance, a tolerance, being able to tolerate the position, you know, being able to coordinate, being able to alter something in it. And then you take all these resources, but then you just put them back into what you actually want to do. So it becomes like you start your splits journey. I do splits. I'm going to snap. My groin's going to tear. Then we go, actually, let's just take it apart. We can teach you something in the split. We can teach you it distilled out.
Yeah.
Okay, now take that newfound resource, whatever it is, and then put it back into the position and go, how's it changed? Oh, did it work? Like, oh, yes, it feels better. No, it didn't. Okay, the exercise isn't for you. We do something different.
Yeah.
And this kind of idea of like, I call it the return to one. Stolen the term from Taoism. But it's this idea of like taking everything apart, making it as good as you can, and then putting it back together. But eventually you just end up like, you just do the split, but you have a whole new split because you've worked on all the pieces.
Yeah.
And all those pieces, you go like, oh, I'm sinking in, but I'm feeling a bit too much on my adductor, so I'll shift the angle slightly because I have that sensation. I know if I rock back slightly or forward slightly, it changes it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm coming down. I feel like I'm going to block in the hip. I need to now actually internally rotate my hips slightly or brace an internal rotation. I know what that feels like. I can actually use that resource.
Yeah.
And that becomes like, it turns the position from something something that's dragging you along for a ride, like a big dog. It's pulling you along and you can only go where it wants to go.
Right.
So and two, actually having a dog walk by your side and making it do what you want.
Yeah.
That's the same dog, but
yeah, it's like understanding what you're feeling when you're there and how to manage it. And I would say related even to squats too. It's like we got to do some, like you do need to squat, keep squatting, but sometimes some positional stuff, which maybe it's an extended pause, right?
Yeah.
These, like, instead of just like doing reps and sets, it's like, what if we did aggressive tempos? What if we did extended pauses in positions where you're struggling so you can understand the sensation?
Yeah.
I think it's very similar. It's a very similar type of approach, like understanding what the hips need to do, where the bar needs to be balanced, or these kind of things. And you're giving yourself those tools to like manage what you're actually feeling and understanding. Like, what can I do? Like, when I stick or when I feel these things.
Yeah.
It's a process for those an expression of movement.
Yeah.
It's that similar type process, whether it's
a process for your range of strength.
Yeah. It's cool. Cool headspace to be in.
Yeah. I think it's definitely like when you start getting into training, this is the kind of problem as you probably experience. Like you get into training, you start training young, you got lots of like energy, you got low life stress, you've got nothing else really to deal with. You know fuck all about training. You have no nuance to your training.
Yeah.
You think you know it all, but you don't know it all. You train for 15, 20 years, we have been doing, then you're just like, oh, I have so much more, but now I have life shit to deal with. So yeah. I have to try to find less out of more, or more out of less, versus where I get like less out of more in the other situation.
Yeah, it's a hard transition to make for people, like, because everything in their life gets busy.
Yeah,
everyone just starts cycling or running because it's like easy to manage.
Yeah,
it's almost like just thinking a bit differently about how you approach your training, like what it is you're actually learning within your own body.
Yeah,
it's not enough people are being like that's the internal practice, right? Like going to the gym and just like kind of close-mindedly just hitting a machine and stuff and not like understanding what muscles are working or how you're making any connection to that, like whether it helps you with muscle growth or not, or it's like just understanding what you're feeling, what you want to be feeling to accomplish something.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of thing is just like, it's the embodiment side of training.
Yeah.
Where it's like, some people get it. Like, we know, we've all met these old dudes. They're in the gym, they're still killing it. You know, maybe they're 60, 70. But they're just like, they just have something different. Like, whereas you see other people who are just like, oh, I've been training for years, but I just haven't got it. I always think like, it's one of those things like we think about strength training, we think about flexibility training, we think about any other kind of training. It should give you what I think of as a virtue. Like strength training should make you strong, physically strong, but it should also change something for you mentally.
Yeah.
And same with like flexibility training, it should change something about you that it's hard to pin down.
Yeah.
But if you've done the training, if you've gone through the process, even if you don't end up super flexible, or even if you end up flexible, it's that process you've gone through, if you've done it properly, you're a different human than where you started it.
Yeah.
Where you just kind of mindlessly go through it.
Yeah. You almost have like a swagger because you understand your body.
Yeah.
And a lot of people live that kind of through their life, depending on other people to tell them what they should be feeling. And it can be super frustrating because it's like, you know, you get assessed by someone or you go to a clinic and, oh, it's this, you got to do this, and nothing works.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, not saying that it has to be this way or that way, but like having actually someone say, well, like try this and then understand what it is that you're feeling. And
yeah.
Like that's what you're saying, like the exercises, like being in like so many, but also having their purpose and understanding those different little things.
Yeah.
And then, like, once you have that and you can understand your own body, you got this like movement swag.
Yeah.
Just like feel comfortable with managing whatever comes at you.
Yeah.
Because I mean, injuries happen, right? Like, certainly you can't just become flexible and better at movement and be like, I'll never get injured.
Yeah.
The idea is that if something comes up, you have more tools to manage.
Yeah.
And you're kind of better off than that person that hasn't been taught to understand their body. It's like, I know how to be in this body now that is a little frail because it's never happened. It's like, you can manage it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to... Talking about this topic with Tom Merrick one time, so probably about where his client, or his client stupid of mine, not more what he was, but this is like, got injured doing something I wouldn't have told him to do. He's doing like a chair split on some of the shittest chairs I've ever seen, and then they slipped and he like popped his adductor and was like, oh, yeah, how are you feeling about it? I was like, yeah, whatever, I'm injured. And then, you know, the conversation with them was like, yeah, you know, 5 years ago when if I got injured, it was the end of the world. Now it's like, oh, now I can just fix myself and it's just gonna take a bit of time and that's fine.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, cool, I can fix myself. If it's not fixable, surgery might fix it. If that's not fixable, then I'll find a way to work around it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I remember actually just done a roundtable talk with Harry Nicholson one time with Stop Chasing Pain.
Okay.
Is that some some movement conference. It was me, him, and another guy, Jan, on a panel. And someone was asking about some injury they had that had been going on quite a while and was very limiting to them. And asked him what he'd do. He'd go, like, you know, it'd probably make you, it's one of the smartest ways of putting thing I ever heard. He's like a very smart guy. I know some people think he's a bit out there, but as he puts it, like, by the time people come to see him, they've been through everyone else and it hasn't worked.
Right.
So he has to use the weird stuff, because that's the stuff that works sometimes.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of weird stuff to try.
Yeah.
But he just kind of said, like, you know, when people come to me, and they go, like, oh, let's say their knee is cause of pain, it's upsetting to them, it's limiting them. I get them to focus on moving the whole rest of the body. It actually feels pretty damn good most of the time, but they've been so focused on the knee being the issue, the ankle being the issue, or hip, whatever it is, they forget about like 99% of the rest of the body, which you can move and do stuff with and feel pretty good.
Yeah, and if you don't have those previous experiences
to
like dealing, because that's usually the first thing we do, something comes up. It's like, I'll just do all the other stuff.
Just
like,
yeah.
But if someone doesn't know how to do all the other stuff, it's just, you're just always thinking about that thing.
Yeah.
And you're always trying to fix that thing.
Right? Yeah. Got to do my glute med, my pedals and stabs, and my blah, 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 blah. It's not working. Man.
You're just kind of picking a scab, right?
Yeah. Literally, you're just picking a scab. Yeah. Or you just go like, okay, my knee's a bit janked up. I'll cautiously test it. I'll do a bit of like very aggressive training for it. Have no expectation of getting better, but I hope it will. But then I'll go, fuck it. All my mental energy will go into like putting my bench up. That's the, like, that's my bread and butter for a while. Bench, overpress, whatever you want to work on. You go, like, okay, that's where I'm going to get my joy. And that's where I'm going to have the logbook.
Yeah.
And then like my leg, you know, whatever, torn adductor, and I need to get, I'm just going to punch the clock on the rehab stuff.
Yeah.
Do it. And then regress it to the point where, like, okay, it's not causing any discomfort. It's not satisfying to go in and do like, I'll do squats, but I can only use 10 pounds.
Yeah.
It doesn't cause me discomfort, but I used to do 100 kilos. And I'm like, okay, but fuck it, my bench has gone up 20 kilos.
Yeah.
30 kilos on the bench. Awesome.
That's actually a good case. Okay, so, I mean, you're not injured and everything's sweet, but actually, I don't think we've actually talked about this before, but it does come up a lot. Like, people ask this a lot, and I'm sure they ask you a lot too. Is like, okay, we'll specifically use range as an example, or flexibility.
Yeah.
It's like you're training all splits.
Yeah.
But you feel like you have a breakthrough coming in front splits,
for
example. It's like, do you like to kind of teach people to chase it a little?
I always like, I don't really chase it. I never tell people to chase range, because that's when people get greedy.
Yeah.
When people get greedy, that's when they push things, and when they push things, when they... They always like to tell people range just comes. It's just like, you can't really predict it.
Yeah.
We can a bit, but I don't tell people I can't. Shit, I tell people I can't. Anyway, I can, whatever, I know. We have our internal system on these things anyway.
Yeah.
But it's more just like, we just want it to happen. We just want you to go in one day and suddenly go deeper. And it's just like, it's no forcing, it's no pushing. It might be uncomfortable, but it just happens.
Yeah.
And that's what you're kind of looking for. And you're like, okay, there's breakthrough coming, you know, just let it happen.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I always think about range training. It's just like, you just don't force it. It's like, oh, it's always that kind of thing when people get greedy. It's like, I was, you know, I'm doing training middle splits for ages. I'm now like, you know, 2 inches off the floor of my calves. I can see it coming. Okay, I'll try to push it.
Yeah.
And that's when you get the most, like, flexibility should just like, the expression of the range of motion should be built on a set of internal conditions that you've trained. The internal conditions kind of mount up to a certain point, and then the dam breaks, and then you get the next bit.
Yeah.
And then it just comes basically effortlessly.
Yeah.
Whereas if we're just getting into smash zone,
yeah,
it can just be a bit too much. But there is definitely, like, I do definitely know there is points when you will see, like, someone's, like, front split is looking much better than the side split work.
It's like progressing better.
Yeah, progressing better. You're just like, okay, it's going to happen. It's
pretty common.
Yeah. So,
but like, I felt, even in my own journey, there was side splits, middle splits, whatever, it took the longest. But it did get to a point where I like knew, like, almost like internally, I knew I was on the cusp.
Yeah.
Of like, could I, not necessarily push it, but like, what more could I do to maybe just like facilitate this?
Yeah.
Because you don't have fronts, have pancake.
Yeah.
You know, like pretty accessible.
Yeah.
Should I hone in on it for a bit? Should I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes people just have that energy. Like sometimes they're just like, I just want to do this. guess.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling it right now.
It's like, yeah. It's definitely one of the things I've noticed over the years. I remember like one client in particular had, like when I was first starting online training. He was training me for a bit. He was trying to get into circus school. He was a strong dude in terms of circus school, like 170 kg back squat, which is much higher than you'd see most people.
Yeah, that's good for his legs.
Yeah. You know, pretty good at most other stuff. But his flexibility was a bit behind. Like he was, by normal person standards, he was pretty fucking flexible. By circus school, he just needed to get more flexible to pass the audition.
Right.
And it was like, we're training side splits, so it was lagging behind. Pancake got good. Side split wasn't really doing much, but it was doing something. It was, say, about 140, 150 degrees. And he was building up the ISO work. And it had improved about 20 degrees while time working. Yeah. And then he just sent me a video one day, just a DM video, of him just, going into a full flat split, like completely flat to the ground, balls to the floor. Like he was crotch two yoga blocks off the ground, kind of height. And I was like, okay, where'd that come from? He's like, I don't know. I just walked into the gym and I just knew I could do it today. And then he could just do flat middle split.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, cool.
I remember the day I hit my split, side split.
Yeah.
I kept doing it.
Yeah.
Because it was almost like, it was also the same kind of feeling where I was like, I knew it was there.
Yeah.
But you did it and I rested. And it wouldn't be doing your max squat and then doing your max squat again. You don't do that.
Yeah.
But when I knew the range was there now, it almost a lot of shit was let go.
Yeah.
And I went and I did it again.
Yeah.
And I remember I did it actually at the time I was working in the military.
Yeah.
I remember I ran upstairs to show the staff.
Yeah.
In the room. I was like, yo, guys. I'd already done it a couple times down there.
Yeah.
And I was just I had to show them because there was just this thing had come over me, I can do splits. And I just did it again. And you're sore the next day and shit, and you realize, okay, this, I got to a point where I was like, okay, this is enough. This is enough.
Yeah.
But there was just this, I had a similar type feeling. But the weird thing is, I just wanted to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas, obviously, max out a big lift. That's it.
Yeah.
You just know it's not
there. A lot of the time, when you get a new flexibility position, it's abandoning tension.
Yeah.
There's mental tension goes with it. There's confidence. There's just oh, I just do this now. It's something I can do.
Yeah.
Whereas with big lifting, it's a lot of metabolic resources, nervous system resources. It peaks and then it goes down in 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So that activation's gone. Whereas in splits, because you're particularly when you can rest in a position, your body knows it's comfortable when it gets there. So it's actually trying to chase that resting position versus being 10 centimeters off the ground. That's just difficult. But being flat and just sitting down.
You're relaxed.
Yeah.
It was a cool feeling. And I also related to I didn't want to do it again for a couple weeks after that.
Yeah.
I kept training splits, but I wasn't then, I don't know, there was just this sense of reward where I didn't want to slide back in my splits. I just kind of did some split stuff, but didn't push it or whatever. I don't know if it wasn't there, but there was just also this part of me that was it wasn't that I was never going to do it again. It just was I needed a break.
Yeah.
It was 3 years.
Yeah.
It's a lot of trial and error. It was I kept training my flexibility, but I also wasn't trying to do splits the next day. It was a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I'm just
that's kind of, I call that the groundhog day. It's just a lot of the times, I see this so much. People have a big breakthrough position, they get chest, floor to pancake, head to toe, splits, front splits. Something bridge doesn't rely on too much. It's got a bit different things, but just the body does it once. The groundhog sticking its head out of its hole, then it can see the shadow and it goes away for a month.
Yeah.
Goes away for 2 months.
Yeah.
And your body's just okay, that was interesting. But it's just if you look at the astrology, the weather, all this kind of weird stuff we can't really compute, where just some days it's just today was the day to do a 1RM PB.
Yeah.
You don't go to the gym okay, I'm going to do an all time best today.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel it okay, fucking the weights are dancing.
Yeah.
Let's just go all out.
Yeah.
And we can train for competitions and predict it and other stuff and hope it. But the amount of people time even in competition like powerlifting, not time people just flunk out on powerlifting when they just spent like 12 weeks focused on like peaking for this meet. Everything's gone smooth in their training, no injuries, eating's good, resting's good. And they go on the platform, it's just like,
yeah,
three reds on everything and just like bomb out.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's unpredictable. But then like a week later in the gym, they hit the lifts they think they were going to hit.
Yeah.
And it is just like that. And the body as well, it's just like, oh, some days you just know. And you just know you're not going to do it again. Like you hit an all-time PB on a squat, you know, you're probably not going to, like, once you're past the beginner stage, you're not going to do an all-time PB for another 6 months.
Yeah.
Like 7 months, possibly even a year.
Yeah. Yeah, so. That's a thing. And I think flexibility training, that's hard for people to think too. Like, I feel like I was maybe lucky in a sense to have that previous weightlifting experience where you almost like hit a goal and you like, you reward yourself for a couple of weeks by just like fucking up.
Yeah.
But experience that with so many people where it's like, it's not there.
Yeah.
You know, like they try to force it the next week.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, your body's like, it's kind of yielding now to say like, hey, let's like take a break.
Yeah.
I just need some time. Like that's,
yeah,
you know, it's another thing to think about. Or again, if someone tells you that before you get there too, it helps, right?
Like, yeah.
Then you can manage your expectations and say, okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I had a breakthrough. Even if it's not full split, but you had, hey coach, look, I got 10, 15 degrees more.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's like, cool. Like, don't be worried if that's not there next week. It's like almost the first thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No.
Like, the biggest, good education. The biggest source of injuries in Kit Lachlan when he was running the Monkey Gym in Australia National University.
Yeah.
Biggest source of injuries they had was not in the beginners, not in the intermediate, but in their advanced class. And they had, over the years, they had like 20,000 people through that program. So huge amount of people, a lot of experience. And the number one cause of injuries they had was in their advanced students. And their advanced students would have a breakthrough and they go, you know, whatever, pancakes, ice blitz, whatever. They'd come in next week and even though Kit would warm up, don't expect you to be there, don't push, just let it happen, you know. And they couldn't go flat or belly to the floor, pancake couldn't get flat, they'd push it, snap.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just that. It's just like you have to just accept that like the body will do it when it's ready.
Yeah.
And particularly when it's a new position, it's just like, you know, it's an all-time PB. You know, hopefully it becomes your new working level.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be it next week.
The thing that's hard, I think, for people to think about too, again, flexibility programming in general. You say that and people are like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, what even is that?
Yeah.
But you're cut for time in this week and you're doing traditional half body splits or whatever, you're like, well, I know that this is coming up this week, so I gotta probably just stack chest and legs. Like, you make these calls because training is so accessible and, like, you know, people know it.
Yeah.
But I'll get that too, or someone will message me and be like, I had to stack these range elements.
Yeah.
So maybe you're stacking hamstrings and, like, some hamstring focused session with pancake or something, right? And then it's like maybe some kind of extreme of, like, knowing what you can and can't stack.
Yeah.
Like, for those purposes of maybe, like, overdoing it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just kind of making the call, and it's like sometimes I've been like, fuck, I gotta make a cheat sheet that says if you're pressed for time, do bends with like front split or do, you know, upper body with side split. Don't try to do side split and front split together or whatever or something. Like, if you have anything on that? Or?
Yeah, it's always this kind of thing of like, particularly with the kind of more strength focused flexibility we do, or that's what you do as well. It's like at the end of the day, it costs recovery.
Yeah.
It costs you units of like recovery to adapt from. If you don't have enough units to recover from that, almost think like the idea of to risk the adaptive energy. The system only has a certain amount of adaptive energy to use per week or per training cycle to adapt and hopefully super compensate from. So then if you're doing a full powerlifting program and then I'm gonna stack in like isometric splits and all the accessories and all this shit, it's just too much. So always like the first kind of thing I think people do is like look at your flexibility program and then look at your strength training program. Mm-hmm. Keep, say, you know, just pull some shit out of my head. So I'm doing a normal leg session where I'm doing like squats is my main exercise, a deadlift is my main exercise. Might be doing 5x3, 5x5, 10 singles, whatever. You want to keep that. That's your money. That's like, you don't want to throw your money out. Yeah. So that's like the main exercise. Most programs, like, if we're really honest, most programs, if you skipped and didn't do any of the accessories, you'd probably just get the exact same result. You just like put it all into squatting, or all into deadlifting.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I've done those programs. They're awesome.
Yeah.
You get so stupid strong.
Yeah. You just go, okay, cool. So that's your money. We don't take the money out of the bank.
Yeah.
But then all your accessories, they're your fun. So you kind of look at your accessories like, I'm doing the squat workout, so you know, classic leg day workout, and then squat or deadlift variation as my A exercise. That's my money. Boom, stays on the table. Then I go like, okay, I was doing squats. I'm going to do some kind of hamstring focused deadlift. That might be a deadlift. I might do Romanian stiff leg, sumo, something hamstringy, something hip hingy. Okay, cool. That's a good exercise. Maybe we don't want to take too much off that.
Yeah.
But then I'm going to do like leg extensions, leg curls, calves, you know, single leg work, all these kind of other things, which are nice to do.
Yeah.
But they're not really your money, not your bread and butter. So you can just kind of go like, I'm just going to do like 4 sets of single leg squats and 3 sets of hamstrings, 3 sets of everything. So maybe just do like 1 good working set of all them.
Yeah.
So take out that set. So you go like, okay, now I've got 6 sets of good quality piggy bank to spend.
Yeah.
I go, okay, that's now my range program. So instead of like, so then I can put that into my flexibility work, which is like, if you're doing lower body flexibility, strength focus work, it is accessory work. Like I'm doing size split isos, I'm training my adductors. I'm doing piston dog or open angle tailor's pose, tailor press. I'm training my transverse abduction, my glutes, the upper angle, like the upper fibers of the glute max. Like, okay, I'm doing some glute work.
Yeah.
You know, I can accept that will get me strong. Maybe it's not as quantifiable, but I'm getting strong. Like, that's how I've maintained a lot of my strength. Like, I only really do this kind of strength and length work. And I'm like, okay, I'm still good for 160 kg deadlift. Yeah. I feel like, you know, give me 6 to 10 weeks of deadlifting, I'll pull 190.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but I maintained that strength. Whereas someone who wasn't doing the work I'm doing, and, you know, even though like I've been, you know, having illness and other stuff that's been very limiting to me, still doing a little bit of it has kept my strength that high. You know, and knowing like, I know feeling how the deadlift was, if I had squats, I'd like squat 130 easy. I was like, okay, cool. This has maintained my strength. So it is strength training. It just doesn't look like it.
Mm-hmm.
So it does contribute to your strength. It looks like it sometimes, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
But it's still using contractive elements.
You get addicted to the effect of what that accessory work makes you feel like.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, if you can let that go and understand they're the same.
Yeah.
It's like, and even if you didn't do that, you'd still get the same strength result.
Yeah.
If we're talking strength and range specific,
yeah, like, there's definitely
hypertrophy, like, maybe it's going to change a bit.
Yeah, hypertrophy would change a bit.
Yeah,
but strength, yeah. Once again, 10 years, if you just kept with your basic strength training program, just doing the money lifts,
yep,
and just doing the range, thing,
you're good.
Yeah,
you're pretty good. Strong and flexible.
Yeah,
there it is, guys.
Sexable.
There it is. Yeah. That's the cheat code.
Yeah, there's definitely like, yeah,
which is funny though, because like, the research is always talking about hypertrophy and flexibility or stretching. It's like, we don't do that. Like, that's,
yeah.
Like, why are we even talking about that?
Because we stretch the grain range of motion. That's why we do it.
So you can yield the same result, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it is pretty crazy. Like, you can yield the same result in the hypertrophic effect doing some aggressive stretching than usual pump stuff. But the pump stuff's more convenient. It's like, yeah,
no shit. Pumps are fun. You kind of hit on there, like, doing a set of squats, it's fun, but it's kind of torturous. Like, yeah. It'll be masochistic, particularly when you start, like, that's the thing I always found, like, when I was working as a personal trainer, more general population thing.
Yeah.
The people who just, I don't want to say it too much when I say it, basically wanted to hurt themselves a little. Wanted to feel something. They're a bit dead from the office job, but they needed the slap. Just, you know, they're the ones who, like, would cross the threshold and like would start going like, okay, I'm squatting more than body weight, I'm doing 1.5, doing 1.25, not big numbers, but the general population training.
Yeah.
But the ones who just wanted to be nice to themselves, they never really got beyond body weight.
Yeah.
You know, just they wouldn't, even though like, you know, they could, they just, unless you're there with them in a session and And go like, no, no, just I'll put the weight, but don't worry what's on the bar. You just put it on and you go up and down with it. And I'll tell you afterwards. And then they can do a bit more. I used to have a lot of people just like, yeah, I'll just load the bar and use the weird colored plates. I don't know what it is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're up, you know, 20 kilos where you were last week.
Yeah.
But in their own training sessions, they're just like, oh, they look like big weights. There is that thing of like, you know, once you start getting up to like body weight on a squat and whatever, it always feels heavy. It's a heavy weight. You can just lift it. So even when you put it on your shoulders, you're just like, okay, it's heavy. I can lift it. Okay, cool. But then a lot of people, they put it on, oh, this feels too heavy. It's a heavy weight.
Yeah.
It should feel light, like those lightweight things I'm using.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the squats are a bit masochistic, but the pump work, like, there is just, you know, there's something, you know, dopamine rush or whatever you get out of, like, I'll just put my, like, you know, losing my body weight stretch creds here. But like, there's just something satisfying about, like, getting into a leg curl machine, getting into a leg extension machine, or a calf raise.
It's kind of free.
Just going like,
yeah,
I just have to lift this up and down and go into the burn as much as I can.
Yeah, you don't have to think much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of takes the pressure off and then you just kind of...
It balances things out, right? Like if I was only to do pump stuff,
yeah,
I'd just get so fucking bored.
Yeah.
But it balances out the curve a little bit. It's like if I'm going to do this skill strength piece and, you know, put that energy and focus in, if I had to do that a little more after that, it's like I can just pump out.
Yeah.
You kind of empty your head a little bit. And if you make your pump stuff more full round specific, you can improve your flexibility pretty good.
Yeah.
To a good degree.
Yeah. It's definitely like, it's kind of one of those things, like, because I spent, once we got the weights in the house, it was just like, you know, it's a normal thing. Like, I don't lift weights year round. It's not the main focus of my training, but I always cycle it in and out.
Yeah.
And obviously, I had a bigger break than I normally would. So then I'm like, okay, cool. I got my weights back. I always know, like, first 2 weeks of having weights, I'd go back to the gym, do that. Like, I treat it like a fairground. I don't go heavy. I just want to basically swell my muscles up with glycogen. That's my goal. That's my mental goal anyway. It's just like, turn over glycogen, get more in. And I see it, like, you know, my arms have gained like about an inch in size.
Yeah.
Not because they've gone muscle, just because they have like water, glycogen stuff in them. They feel like kind of puffier just from that week of just like, okay, just have the bar. I'll just do some fucking curls. Just get a burn. But it's just like, nice. Okay, let's do some Romanians. How many reps am I doing? I'm not even counting reps, I'm just going for that like pumpy burn sensation to just like, okay, I'm very close to just not being able to lift this.
Yeah.
And I just like, you know, I think I was doing like one day, I've definitely done like 50 something reps in a Romanian, about 40 kg, just to get the pump. But then it was kind of like a range of motion drop set. I was going like pretty deep for Romanian. Still keep the technical points of Romanian, so not like turning into a weird stiff leg.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, cool. I'm like, you know, 4 inches below knee or 5 inches below knee. Okay, cool. Let's begin the burn. Okay, let's go up to kneecap.
Nice.
Okay, cool. I'll go to kneecap, below kneecap. Okay, let's keep going a bit above the kneecap.
Nice.
And I was just like, it's just good to get the pump on. And then like, you know, it's a bit sore the next day, but it just gives me that mental reassurance that like,
yeah,
okay, now just eat, recover, things get a bit like puffier and swellier. And like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, these are not technical terms. I don't endorse them, but it's what I found works for me.
That's why these podcasts are so good, because you can like get into as much as like you make a really organized post to make sure you hit all the technical fine points. Like, this is what it's about. Like, talking shop.
Yeah,
it's like you put the time in, you've been in the gym, and you've connected with another coach who's just done that, and you just can bounce.
Yeah.
I know everything you're saying. You don't need to give me anything technical. I just like know it. And I think it's like, once you've put the time in and done all these different things, it's like, you understand, you get it. Like you know exactly what the person's message are trying to relay with, like how they're feeling. I think that's always cool too, if you can help someone get to that point.
Yeah.
Where they can tell you like how excited they were to be like, I was feeling this, or you know, and then all of a sudden they're excited because they get it.
Yeah,
I understand my body better.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Like, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. I know it works for me. Like, I love that point with clients. Like, particularly with like clients who have like 3, 4, 5 years. I'm like, you know, I've worked with these people a long time. They've gone through a process with me. Then, like, I can basically sit down with them when we're on the call and just go, okay, what do you want to train? What do you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you feel you need to work on?
Yeah.
What do you think's lagging? Okay, what were you skipping that you need to do? And then, like, you know, okay, I'm skipping this. Okay, well, we're not going to skip this phase.
Yeah.
And we just could, like, co-create the program.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'll take the higher level view of, like, this is your long-term, medium, short-term goals. I can plan this kind of out and what's an acceptable kind of variance in this. And then you can tell me what you want to do, what you're feeling like you do, or how things are at work.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, I'd really like to do 4 days a week. A bit of chat, like what's going on at work, also really stressful, pulling late shifts. Okay, maybe 4 days a week is a bit too much, let's try 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But we'll make them very good 2 or 3, you know, this kind of thing, just like we take over the kind of the management and planning.
Yeah.
But the person is kind of telling me, was like, oh, you know, I feel like press and handstand, like the takeoff position isn't really doing good, so I really need to do a bit more bottom half work. Okay, cool. I'll program that in and I'll make that the main exercise rather than an accessory, so we know everything's going into this. That kind of like, it's that thing I think we were talking about earlier. It's like, yeah, you know, the piece of paper you get from your coach or the PDF or yeah, the spreadsheet, whatever, that's only 20% of the coaching relationship. That's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It means nothing, really.
Yeah.
Whereas like what you're actually looking for is this dialogue that you begin to speak the same language.
Yeah.
It takes some time to get with it. Like, yeah, I don't really care. People shop around, the coaches always think it's a personality thing as much as anything else.
Yeah.
But it is this idea of like, oh, you know, I'm trying to get you to the point where you can talk to me and I can talk to you and we can talk about the same thing and we can kind of work on it together.
Yeah.
And that's coaching.
Yeah.
Versus just going like, here's a spreadsheet based on percentages. Yeah, it works. We can't argue that, but it's not coaching.
You're not able to like work through the nuances of it
with
someone that can guide you through it so you don't get as frustrated. And yeah. Most of the time, we're hard on ourselves because we think we need to do so much. Work's stressful right now, and I can only do 4 days, or I'm barely getting 4 days, and it's like, let's go twice a week hard.
Yeah.
I was even saying that to Emmett. We were on a walk before the podcast. It's like, man, I can't get over how good I'm feeling just training 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, as much as there's a part of me, it's like, I should start training more.
Yeah.
I just love the space and freedom.
It's like,
if I just put more into those 3 days.
Yeah.
To get more time off, like in between. And again, I just appreciate these things in between a little bit more, but I know I can still yield a pretty similar result.
Yeah.
Some hard time in. It's like getting over that curve. My squat hasn't been affected from a year now, once a week.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find once a week protocols or prescriptions online.
Like, yeah.
Because I even did that. I was like, is anyone really talking about once a week squatting? Because even like Ed Cohen. Once a week squat. Some of these old school guys that are like some of the best, they can squat once a week.
Yeah.
But like nowadays, it's like everyone's like, you got to squat twice a week.
Yeah.
Why?
I squat twice a week. Yeah. This thing, you say it's better, but
like at bare minimum, like I did find one article, I forget what it was, but it was like, I mean, at a bare minimum, twice a week is recommended, but maybe these are some strategies if you can only do one. And it was basically like, you know, squats and puke.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Like, you know, but yeah, it is nice to like have someone guide you and say like, let's just, and if you're doing the minimum and feeling like I can do the minimum, it's like, that's always a better space than being like, I can't do these 4 days that I think I should be doing because this article or whatever said that I'm not doing that, I'm fucking fucking up.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of fear of like missing out. Yeah. I was like, oh, I've done twice. Like, well, how do you know?
Yeah.
Like it's one of the things I've always, not so much that I deal with so much at the moment, but when I was first starting online training, there was certain coaches promoting like the hard style lifestyle. You had to train like 2 sessions a day. The sessions had to be 2-3 hours long, or you're not the thing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, just to relate, say one guy I had as a client, I'm really happy with how everything turned out with this guy, but he was like, basically, like, he came to me, I met him in Australia, he was training with this coach, remained nameless, who had him on, like, a generic copy-paste program. It was, like, 10 sessions a week, or 11 sessions a week, something like that, like, just every day, or 6 days a week, 2 sessions, or 12 sessions a week. Now, this dude worked on a building site as a scaffolder. He had to get up at, like, 5 a.m., go in, do his first two-hour session, go out in Australia in the fucking heat, work all day on scaffolder, up and down scaffolding, carrying stuff around, driving around, then go back to the gym, and then do another 3-hour session, also catch up on the stuff he missed because he couldn't get all the stuff in. It just felt like shit. He wasn't progressing. Then he also wanted to be good at moving, was his goal. I want to be good at moving. But then he was, you know, as we were chatting, like, I have a certain way of talking to people that I want to get information out, but I don't really want to interrogate them. So it just kind of happened. It kind of came out that it was like his girlfriend was a bit upset with him training so much. And blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. What would she like to do? And he's like, oh, she teaches, she's a dance teacher. You know, she'd really like me to go to these social dances they do, like maybe not go to class with her, but just, you know, go to social dancing once a week. And I was like, well, you know, social dancing and dancing with, like, I think it was like Lindy Hop and all these kind of, they're kind of like the movement, that is movement. Like, you can't argue, like, doing handstands and horse dances is a movement. Like, it's acrobatics and it's flexibility and other stuff, but it's not. It is movement, but not. Whereas, like, going to dance class once a week or dance, like social dances for a few hours, just dancing and having fun, that is movement.
Yeah.
So, I kind of pointed that out. I was like, why wouldn't you just drop some of the sessions here and just go dancing and just, you know, who worries about your third handstand session a week? You know. But then, like, he stopped, finished training with this guy and he started training with me. And I was like, sat down and was like, okay, we're going to do four sessions with an optional fifth a week. That's it. You can do your four sessions. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you have an optional session you can do. Most weeks you actually end up just doing four, and then like maybe 2 out of 6 weeks you do the optional one. He was getting better results. And just like, it was just stress management, like he couldn't recover on top of that job.
Yeah.
But because we could have a dialogue about his training, and then his relationship with his girlfriend was better, because he was just like, oh, I have time to go like do the things she wants, and I don't have to get up at like 6 in the morning. We have breakfast, and it's just like, yeah, like that's coaching. That's like, okay,
yeah,
we're adapting these things to your actual lifestyle and what you can actually do.
Yeah.
Even though on paper it's like you look at the two programs, like this is definitely the hardcore program. This program, he has to be doing 8 exercises 4 times a week.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to work.
Yeah,
but like it actually worked. And got him where he wanted.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a cool reflection. We've all been there. Like, I think that's just where I'm at now. It's like work-life balance. You get to a point where that just is what you're looking for more of. And yeah, you just realize I can do what I can do. And, you know, like this is, yeah, it's worth sharing that. Like when you do that, it's like share that message, because there's so many people just being told it's got to be done this way.
Yeah.
This is what champions do. And albeit, like, I want to know what champions do. It's cool. You learn a lot. But
you have to understand the champion's lifestyle is to be a champion.
Yeah.
And then, like, this is the thing I was talking about, natural talent, with someone recently in a kind of unrelated field.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's using to explain to her. It's just like, okay, we look at sprinters. Like, we have kids who can just run faster than other kids.
Yeah.
They just, there's something about that kid who can just run faster. But to take that kid, take them into like senior level, university level, you know, national, international, possibly even think of Olympics. It takes a whole fucking team of people behind them to get that talent to actually do the thing.
Come out that way, yeah.
Like, you know, we look at, you know, like any kind of sports person you see who has like the talent, the champion, they have a strength coach, personal strength coach, a technique coach, physio, nutritionist, diet, manager. They have like, you know, teams of people behind them, you know, and there's like, oh, that's what it actually takes to get the talent out. So they have like 6 coaches, you have 1 coach, and you can't train all the time they can and do all the recovery stuff. It's like, oh, you know, I need to prep my food, as the nutritionist says, or have my food delivered to me, you know. All these kind of things pay into it a lot, where people just go like, oh, this guy done, I don't know, what's the classic, the Bulgarian Olympic lifting programs that were popular. It's like, lift the max, like, yeah, well, they had all the coaches,
all the gear.
All the gear. Yeah. That's
The coaches were throwing them all together.
Yeah.
To, like, see who's the best every session. So what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
Right. Like, we're competing with each other every session.
Yeah.
To try to, like, you know, make the team or be the best. And it's like, and no one talks about probably the people that were cut or injured just through that process.
Yeah, exactly.
We had the champions. It's like, well, what? There's 3 people there.
Yeah. Chinese meat grinder method of gymnastics. Like somebody in the Chinese circus sort of myth, like, you know, China basically rates people to go around. They basically rate you by your parents. Like, yeah. What do your parents go? What is the average? Like, size of the feet, size of the hands, femur lengths, all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, this kid will probably be pretty good at gymnastics. You go to the gymnastics program.
Yeah.
You're good at gymnastics, but you're not going to be great. Okay, you're cut, but you just spent, like, you just missed out loads of school. You've just been doing this. Okay, you go to the circus.
Yeah.
And then you're doing circus because you don't need to be as good as an Olympic gymnast through circus. And it can be a bit more varied, a bit more different body types are kind of okay in it. And then okay, you do circus. You get really good at that. But it is just like literally a meat grinder.
Yeah.
Like one of the dudes I knew in the Chinese, who came from Chinese circus background, dude was like, his specialty was like juggling hats, like these kind of type of hats. It's a weird kind of hat juggling thing where they throw them like frisbees, like they might throw them, there's like a frisbee, but you throw it out in a certain arc and then it comes back to you. So it's kind of like you're juggling in an extra dimension. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that was a specialization, that's what you could do. But you could also do fucking everything else. You could do straps, you could do one-arm handstands, you could do flips, you could flexible, just everything. But like his training, like, it was literally just insane. Like he'd coach him, be like, oh, you know, do 1,000 push-ups. There's things they like, do 1,000 push-ups. Like, do push-ups, like, you know, kind of shit twitchy ones. But if they didn't get 1,000 of them done in 60 minutes, they have to do another 1,000.
Fuck.
It's just like, oh, you're weak today. And like, the days when people are looking slow or weak, they go, oh, you're looking slow or you're tired today, they double your training. Just like, you have to train another 6 hours today. Because you're so slow today, you're obviously not training hard enough.
That's why. That's
my slow. And then it's just like, you know, he had some knee problems that were kind of, couldn't redo. He could flip it on, but he had like some knee problems, I don't know what specifically, just from all that training,
yeah,
that kind of limited him. But then like when he hit his 20s, he was like basically done with all that. And he was like working as a food delivery guy in Dublin, but just would come to our like juggling circus meetups and hang out. And just be like, oh, what else can you do? But yeah, it's just a bit nuts, but like he wasn't. The other thing, like, he was very fucking good, like, by European standards, like, he was very good.
Yeah.
But he wasn't good enough for China standards.
Yeah.
So he just got dumped. Yeah. It was just like, oh.
And then we, yeah, compare ourselves sometimes to that kind of shit.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, what can you do with the time you have?
Yeah, exactly. What can you do with the time you have? How can you live a hopefully useful life, useful to yourself and not society so much? At the same time, achieve your kind of goals. Yeah. So it's that kind of thing, like, you nailed it one of the last podcasts. So, like, what are you willing to give up to achieve your goals?
Yeah.
And that's kind of,
yeah,
you know, are you willing to, in the Chinese example, like, give up a normal childhood,
yeah,
give up normal schooling, give up, like, living with your family to go do all this crazy acrobatic shit? You know, are you willing to, like, give up your relationship with your girlfriend in your dancing class, mm-hmm, to do all your movement training? You know, are you willing to give up that? You know, there's a lot of sacrifice that we have to make, and sometimes we don't need to make the sacrifice because we can achieve what we want with more, I don't know, cohesive structured training.
Yeah.
Or this acceptance in 10-year journey. I'm like, yeah, you could get there in 5 years. You could, like, okay, I've reached my all-time best in squat in 5 years. Well, you could just go, okay, I'll just hit it in 8 years. And yeah. So what?
Yeah.
In 10 years, I still have the exact same squat.
Yeah.
It's just not going to get better.
Yeah. That's what it was for me with just like, because I was on that high frequency squat approach.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's like being a little more seasoned in training, come in terms with like, I just don't want to do this anymore, but I still want to make progress in my squat.
Yeah.
And just knowing it's just going to take a little longer. It's going to take a little longer. I haven't lost anything. I mean, I have a goal in mind. Life management, coming to Ireland to hang out, like, you know,
driving your kids around.
I don't know if I can come because I'm working on my squat. No, I'm going to be here.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I've actually had kind of that similar line from people who, like, just, you know, invited to train with me or come to seminar, you know, it's sort of like, you know, people have been chatting online, just like, you know, just come, you know, I can't afford it, don't worry, cash is an issue, just come hang out. Like, oh, well, I'm gonna miss my training that weekend. It's like, I'm literally offering you like 400 quid worth of seminar to come hang out in your home city, so you don't even need to travel.
Yeah.
But you're just worried about missing a training session.
Crazy.
it's just like that kind of obsessive compulsiveness.
Yeah.
I do think, I don't know, we've got a lot of time.
Yeah, we've got lots of time. Let's keep it on.
We're about an hour now.
Yeah.
So, or an hour and 20 minus my period slip up. Yeah. Fuck it. Obsessive compulsiveness. Yeah. I think, like, there's a lot of, like, I don't know.
Well, everyone's looking for the program. This is the other thing, too. Tell me what I need to do, and I'm just going to do that. And anything that interferes or challenges that, just like, it's not that I'm going to ignore it. It's just that it fucking blows their mind sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean that's not the way? Or what do you mean there's another different way? And it's like, no, you don't just need 8 movements for the rest of your life. Some people do need to hear that.
Yeah.
Some people do like to say, ah, that's it. I figured out fitness.
Yeah.
These movements, the rest of my life will give me all the best movement I need.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, exercising is important.
So yeah.
If you're exercising, fine. But if someone's now saying, if you do this exercise, you'll get a full pancake.
Yeah.
And then you're frustrated because you're like, see you do good mornings and give me a pancake. Like, oh shit. Like, fuck. So, you know, you got to manage those expectations. And yeah, you get like obsessive compulsive about like looking for that answer to fitness.
Yeah.
Like there's some kind of finish line.
Yeah.
There's no fucking finish line. There's like goals, and then you need to identify what you're going to do to get that goal. And you can't be like trying to search for that perfect balance all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the thing about, I was thinking about exercise recently. And like, if you're prescribing exercises, like, you basically, like, probably a high standard, but I almost think like you need to be able to talk about an exercise for an hour before you should be allowed to prescribe it to people.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, like, I think about, like, oh, what could I talk about? Like, you know, as it happens in my podcast, Bendability, like, I don't script anything. I just have a topic, I talk,
you know,
40 minutes, an hour on something, on all that stuff. I think, like, you know, if I was to sit you down and say, like, Lucas, tell me about squatting.
Yeah.
You'd be able to talk for an hour, no problem.
Should be able to, yeah.
Yeah,
it's actually a good standard.
Yeah.
That's a good standard. I never thought about that.
Yeah. It's, I'm just like, okay, tell me about bench press. Okay, boom. I'll tell you about the history. I'll tell you about the muscle you use. Yeah. I'll tell you about the technique. I'll tell you about the context. I'll tell you about how you can modify it. I can tell you about an exercise. Whereas a lot of people, they just don't really know what an exercise does, or they can't explain it. They go like, you know, they can demonstrate the exercise. They could tell you roughly, oh, I do push-ups. It works your triceps and your pecs. I'm like, well, that's interesting. What does tibialis anterior do in push-up? Tell me about that. What does tibialis posterior do in the push-up? It does something.
Yeah.
You just don't notice.
Yeah.
But that kind of like, you know, where would you use push-ups? How do you progress it? How do you, like, if you can't, and, you know, if you think about your basic exercise, a bit of a challenge for people. Give yourself 30 minutes and talk about your favorite exercise. And then, like, try to get one that, like, try to talk about, like, something you can't, you prescribe a lot, or you just seen someone else do an Instagram and you think it's a cool exercise. Can you talk about it for 30 minutes, 40 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Probably shouldn't give it to your clients.
Yeah.
You should probably stick with the exercise you can do for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that's the ones you know nuance on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. Like, it's always good to have, like, nice... I'm always wary of giving, like, shiny new exercises to people.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, see something cool or see other stuff. Like say the side press we learned today. I might show them to some of my more advanced students just for like, hey, I learned this from Lucas, it's pretty cool. Try it out, let me know what you get on.
And we did a video together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah.
And that's just like, it's just something, it's something to play with.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give it to them like, this is going to fix your something. Because I don't know what's going to fix. I don't know what it's going to do.
Right. You want to see what it does to a bunch of people.
Yeah. I don't know a bunch of people. Like, I've 4 or 5 close students who are just like, I trust their opinions.
Yeah.
They've been with me a while. They're like, oh, I've been playing with this. How about you play with it as well?
Yeah.
And like, it's co-creation. We're all trying it out. We're coming back. And
kind of, where does this fit?
What does it do?
Yeah.
Whereas like, just going to a normal client room, maybe say 6 months and going, here, do the side press. What's it good for? My back. Yeah, it's good for your back. Fuck it. You know, I can't tell you how it's good for your back.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And it's just like, whereas, like, if I stick with the exercise that I really know, it's like, oh, I'm in back pain. Okay, cool. Let's do an assessment, regress your exercises. I know these exercises to regress, and I know how they work.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. And I can tell you why we'd regress it and how we'd regress it.
Yeah.
You know, how we'd modify it. But I can't tell you how to modify a side press.
Yeah.
I can just go, like, yeah, just turn around, and when it gets hard, turn harder. Like, that's all I know about it at the moment. Like, keep your leg straight. If one leg bends, push back into the hip. That's it. That's all I know. That's my takeaways from today.
Yeah.
Which is a good starting point.
That's funny. It reminds me of some time spent working with James Fuller, strongman archaeology.
Yeah.
And he's like old school, like, you know, in his coaching style and stuff. But there was some times where I'd be doing, I remember doing loaded leg press, self-loaded leg press.
Yeah.
Like, you press the barbell up, load it to your feet.
Yeah.
And you press it up or whatever. And like, I thought I did it pretty good. But he was like, you're not ready to teach people that yet. I was like, okay. But it's same like here. It's like you got to put some hours in and really understand the little details of this exercise and in your own practice first. Be able to talk about your own experiences.
Yeah.
Like how it's helped you before you can really just like relate to a large audience of people.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it's just like,
because that's the world we live in right now, social media. It's kind of frustrating sometimes. Like, it's, you know, a cultural or a content stealing type environment where coaches will just like see what you're doing and then post it the next day.
Yeah.
It's like, holy fuck. Like that.
I know. Yeah, but it's slightly evil. Like, I know some exercises that will probably fuck people up.
Yeah.
And just like,
you should be posting those.
Yeah. You should be posting those. Just like, just here we go. Try this one. There's like a lot of like, that's why I don't post like a whole syllabus of ballistic stretching exercises, but some of them just a bit, unless you kind of have a lot of good body control, they're not for general public. They're not even people who work with me directly.
Yeah.
I just think they're too risky to teach, just to shotgun to the internet.
Just to throw out there on a reel?
Yeah, basically. Maybe I should. But then, what Snaps City happen?
You should start a reel of wushu. Yeah, style stretch kicking.
I have the stretch kicks, they're kind of safe, but there's even crazier ones.
Like, yeah.
Which we don't.
I want to see them.
Yeah. I'll show you every time tomorrow, I'll show some.
Yeah.
But, show them out.
But yeah, it's just funny, that's the world we live in now. It's just like, people,
the ladies are greatest. Dave Tate was actually talking about, not that they're powerless, but I have a lot of time for Dave Tate. I think he's got a very good,
good view.
Give you a point on everything. He's like, talking about like, the kneeling one arm lat pull down, as a thing. It's just like, you know,
he used to do the reverse side bend. I still love that. Really, like,
The one I think it's from Kazam or M1 or something like this is the best way to isolate the lat ever. Blah blah blah. And he's just like, it's a short from his podcast on his Instagram. It's just like, you know, I've been in this game for 40 years, like. This just happens. Everyone's doing a new exercise because it's the new hottest thing. And you know what? Every single one of those exercises goes away. We just go back to the basics until the next one comes along.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we've seen it. I've seen this exercise before. Yeah, it's fine. It's good exercise. There's nothing wrong with it. But it just goes away because it's just like, at the end of the day, like, your normal rows will just do the job just as well.
It's the extreme that someone tries to sell you on it.
Yeah.
It's because if like you were just be like, this is just is a different way to get this. Like, it just feels nice.
Yeah.
Stimulus. But then all of a sudden you start breaking down how it is so much different.
Yeah.
To this extreme extent where you're just like, am I really not going to get the same effect? Or is like, is this the exercise that's going to do whatever, you know, what is it supposed to be doing?
Landing the fibers of your lats are the most effective pull. But like, you could almost argue like, if I want to land on the most effective fiber direction, then I'm making the most efficient thing. I'm making my lats stronger, so I'm getting less of a training effect.
Yeah.
Because if I have a less efficient line of pull, then things have to work harder against the worst leverage.
Yeah.
But if I give everything the best leverage.
Yeah.
It's just like physiotherapy, biomechanics. So it's like all this shit. It's just like a line in the fiber direction. One, and this is like, so I'm gonna say, you don't know someone's fiber direction.
Yes.
You can't MRI their body to that level.
Yeah.
So even though you think about it, like, the human body's fucking weird. Yeah. There's so many variants internally. You have muscles and other shit. Like, you know, I have muscles you don't have. You have muscles I don't have.
Yeah.
You know, I have attachments you don't have.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't actually really know. We can make a generalization.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, oh, if I align everything in a straight line, once again, straight lineism. We think everything in the body is a straight line. Line is a straight line, the most effective angle, then I can pull and isolate things the most effectively. It's like, well, do I really want to be efficient with my exercise? Or to expose it to inefficiency and force it to get stronger in a different leverage angle? is when we think about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is kind of thing, you see these people like promoting all this functional isolationism with all these weird exercises.
Perfect corrective.
Correct. Yeah.
Correct it.
Perfect.
This is the way it's supposed to function. You got to correct it.
Yeah.
So it functions the exact same. We all should move and function the exact same. No. It's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah. And then you go like, oh, you just get people just like wasting years of training doing stupid shit when they should be doing bent over rows. Like, that's the thing. Show me someone who can bent over a row like 140 kilos, 180 kilos. And pretend. They're a big dude.
Yeah.
I've never seen a small dude doing it.
Yeah.
And show me someone who can do like a full stack on one arm kneeling lateral.
It's your own range.
Yeah, they're probably like, they might be okay size, but I doubt they're going to be fucking as big as the dude who's.
Man, bent rows are a range exercise, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're in that posterior tension.
Yeah.
Hamstrings, low back, lats, and you're just staying there.
Yeah.
You're not finishing the lift. You're staying in the hardest part.
Yeah.
And you're rowing. You know, it's like that deficit row style they used to do. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's just like, I mean, you feel your lats, but like your whole body.
Yeah.
Your low back, your hamstrings just lit.
Yeah. This is like this thing, like that. Integration of the whole body as a unit. It's like,
so
I just want my whole body to be strong and mighty.
Yeah.
I don't want my lats to be strong and mighty and then my spine to be a fucking toothpick.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of thing, like a lot of the body, like the kind of stuff I was showing you were like the structure testing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, cool. Because I can make structure, my body's united, works as a unit, I could like move you quite easily.
Yeah.
Whereas like you could like have to really ramp it up on me.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of thing, like you look at all this older school or it was compound lifting. It's like, I don't know. What does this isolate? Yes. What does this do? Yes. Which muscle does this work? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. It's all the boxes.
Whereas if you're just like, oh, I'm isolating my lat and avoiding teres minor, blah blah blah. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you want to be doing.
Do we really want to be doing that? Or just
this reminds me of like sitting in front of the TV in the 80s with like a tube wrapped around your coffee table, just like doing tube exercises, right?
Yeah.
Like, what are we really doing? I know people need to move, but okay.
Yeah.
So much more.
So I think anything that's really moving is good. Anything that's much strong and mighty is better.
Better.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good point to wrap up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever makes you strong and mighty is better.
Peace out.
Yeah. Good.
Cool.
That's
good fucking ramble of topics.
Yeah, I don't even remember what we talked about. We finished our power.